We have spent a few lessons and brought ourselves up to about 4.5 to 5 years of teaching and put everything into a perspective of where we are in the study of spiritual love, or loving as Jesus Christ loved us. And so we're up to where we are, and now we're ready to. We've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, a life without love, a tragic life. And you'll recall that a life without love, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, is a life that is led what we will call in the church, call it church, religion, spiritual Christianity, whatever it is. It's not, what I'm trying to do is, it's not like we're talking here about the sinner who's out living away from the church. Those three verses describe a life of people who live within the framework of the church. However, without spiritual love, there is no difference before God in them and the sinner. And by sinner, I mean someone who is a Christian, but never walks in the Spirit, never assembles, never goes to church and doesn't care about it or anything else, and lives their life totally out of the plan of God and doesn't care about it. So we would say, well, what a wasted life. And then we look at somebody who is very productive in the church in the sense of looking at them, very productive in the church, doing a lot of things in the church, spiritual gifts in the church, prophecy, knows a lot of doctrine, knows all knowledge, has a faith that can remove mountains, gives to the church, gives to the poor, gives their body, and you think, wow, what a wonderful, wonderful Christian compared to this bum out here. But if we look at it from the standpoint of God, there's no real difference, because a life without love is a wasted life. A life without love, and when I say love, I'm talking about spiritual love that comes from and through the power of God the Holy Spirit when we walk by faith in the Spirit. Because without love, we say nothing, we do nothing, we are nothing. We are just totally nothing. We are an intrusion, really, in the plan of God. We really get in the way. And we make the wrong statement in as far as the whole conflict is concerned. So a life without love is a wasted life. So if you're going to want to walk in the spiritual realm and do those things that are pleasing to God, then spiritual love is where we want to be in that respect, or loving as Christ loved, fulfilling the new commandment. Now, last Tuesday evening, we started pulling a lot of these things together in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, a life without love, and getting ready for verses 4 and following. So very quickly, chapter 13, if I speak with the tongues of men, language, if I speak with the languages, remember that. If I speak with the language of men, meaning audible, understandable to man, and of angels. That takes us into the spiritual warfare. But do not have love. What a horrible statement, do not have love, a life without love. Why would a Christian not have love? Because they refuse to walk by faith in the Spirit. Why would a Christian refuse to walk by faith in the Spirit? Because they believe there are other ways to walk. In other words, you walk by doing, by your confession, by your repentance, by your sorrow, by the sacraments of the church, by being self-righteous or being good, doing this, doing that. They've got their works, so they do not need to walk by faith in the Spirit. They've got what they're doing. That's the object of their faith. If I will do these things, then God will bless me. So that's why somebody would do that and still think that they're doing great things for God. But it's a wasted life. It is a life without love. So do not have love. Tragic statement. And it's tragic because everyone can have it. You have everything necessary for it. God has given every believer the seed of mustard seed of faith. So you have the faith. God has given every believer the indwelling of the Spirit, from whom spiritual love comes from. So you have both of these in you. You have the Holy Spirit in you, who is the source of this love, and you also have faith. God has given you both. So all you have to do is to walk by faith in the Spirit. Now, if I do not have love, I have become, and both of these you'll notice the sound effect, because in verse 1 here he's dealing with communication. But what I've done, I've just become an echoing noise. You recall the correct translation, echo, means where we get the word echo in the English. And it means echoing noise. And what's an echoing noise? It means it draws attention to you. And that's what a lot of Christians do. Pastors, evangelists, people. They draw attention to themselves. They give great sermons, great talks, great everything. But it's an echoing sound. It just draws back. What's an echo do? An echo comes back to you. An echo dramatizes you. And so that's what they have become without love. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, what a phenomenal thing to have. And if I have faith so as to remove mountains, insurmountable objects, in other words, but do not have love, I am nothing. And that's what it means. I'm nothing. You're not contributing at all to the Christian life, to the spiritual warfare. And that's why a lot of people are going to stand up to God. But wait a minute, I prophesied in your name. I did all of this in your name. I didn't even know you. Because it was all for you. It was never for me. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, to the point where I become poor, is what the Greek is dealing with. And if I surrender my body to be burned, the ultimate, but do not have love. There's that phrase again, but do not have love. It profits me nothing. What you give will profit others, of course. But it will not profit you. It will not profit you now. It will not profit you spiritually. It will not profit you in eternity. It's of no profit whatsoever. It's of no advantage to you whatsoever. So we picked up some points. I don't want to review. We're running close to time. Let's just pick up right where we left off last time. We picked up points 1, 2, 3, and 4. So if my notes are correct where my mark is, we're ready for point 5. Great. Let's just begin at point 5 and move on. This passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, namely verses 1 through 8, this passage makes it extremely clear by stating negatively that spiritual love is what gives impact to your life, primarily verses 1 through 3 here. States very dramatically that spiritual love is what gives impact to your life. Therefore, I call spiritual love, just so we can talk about it, spiritual love is the alchemizing force. It is the alchemizing force or process that changes everything, that takes everything that we do and makes it spiritually beneficial. In other words, you can give money, but people giving money is of no value without spiritual love. A lot of people give money to control. I mean, we know this in marriages. We know this in human relationships. People give money so that they can control. People give money so that they can have a confinement and a control over. Even they did in the church also, not just in marriage. People want to give a lot of money to control. People give money for praise. People give money for a lot of different reasons. And without love, it's of no advantage, but it is spiritual love that transforms it into something powerful. Let's take the known to go to the unknown. Known human situation. Children. Children know when they're given something out of love and when they're given something out of control. Women know when they're given. A wife knows when the husband gets something out of control or out of love. We know the difference. Now, we may take it even if it's not out of love because we need it. But we know the difference. So, if we know the difference, just think in the spiritual realm before God, the impact that spiritual love is going to have on whatever it is that we give. So spiritual love takes anything that you and I do and alchemizes it. It gives it value. Without it, people, giving is of no value. Knowledge is of no value. I don't care how much Bible doctrine you know. I don't care how much you give. I don't care how much you serve. I don't care how much of your life you give. Without this love, spiritual love, it's useless. It's going to be love that is going to transform it into something powerful. And the people are going to devote their whole life serving God, and when they get up to the Bema Seat and get up to the evaluation of believers, and they're going to, you know, nothing. And they're going to say, wait a minute, there seems to be a mistake here, sir. Standing before the tribunal at the Bema Seat. My whole life was spent doing things for you. I mean, I studied and preached. I gave money all the time. I was an evangelist, speaking of evangelists. I went all over the world. I spent my whole life. I did this. I did that. I served you. I served you here. I served you there. So do you realize how many toilets I cleaned for you throughout the history in our church? This kind of thing. But without love, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. I think you understand what I'm saying. I hope you do. Let's talk about it in human life. How many people, and we can look at it from the man's view, the husband or the wife, it doesn't matter, we get married, have children, and it's just broken, and you get to the end of your, get on in the life, and the children gone, they don't care, maybe a divorce has occurred, and the whole thing, and it's just falling apart, and boy, what happened here? Those things without love, in the human realm, you just go, God, what a wasted life I have. I have all these children, I have this, I have that, and it's just, the children don't care, and this doesn't happen, and my husband, my wife, da-da-da-da-da-da, and you look back, and then, boy, we only have one life, people, only one life. That's all. Just one walk through this thing. And you got to make up your mind, what is it I want out of this one life that I've got, one time? And you reach for it, and you grab it. But without spiritual love, people, it's of no value. And you look at it, and people look back over their whole life, and I'm at the point now where I hear people, my life's wasted. My children are gone, the marriage is all, da-da-da-da-da-da, and just a wasted life. Well, what's missing? Even in the human realm, what was missing is love. Love between the husband and wife, love between the parents and the child and the parents, love. You can take a circumstance where just to kind of didn't go from a very bad condition to what we're talking about, or just live in very meager existence. But there's love. And you know the difference. So think of it from that realm and then transfer your known to the unknown, the spiritual, a life with love. Spiritual love. It makes all the difference in the world. Okay, that was point five. Point six. The new commandment for the new spiritual creature. The new commandment, the new commandment, singular, for the new spiritual creature is love. People, love is basic to the Christian life. Spiritual love is not just another virtue. Spiritual love is what gives dynamics to all other things we do in the Christian life. It is not just another one. Love, spiritual love is what gives impact to your life. Love is the mark of the Christian, the escutcheon, as we say. It's an old word, meaning it's our emblem. It's our mark. It's what marks a person off as a Christian. How are we going to identify a Christian in the 6th century, the 8th century, the 12th century, the 15th century, the 20th century, the 21st century? It's not culture. It's not man, woman. It's not slave, free man, slave. It's something that transcends every circumstance that you can think of, even personalities. All of this stuff we live in today, we're sophisticated in America, unlike they were before, and we like to try to find it in people's personalities. So you have Christians writing books about all kinds of personalities. Christians writing books, well, it's a man thing, it's a woman thing, it's a female, it's a sexual thing, it's a personality thing, and it's an age thing. It's when, you got to be in an age, and da-da-da-da-da-da. People know. This love transcends every one of those things. Whatever the personality is, whatever the circumstance is, there's no limitations to this thing. There's nothing in history of man that limits what we're talking about. It is spiritual love that gives impact to your life. I don't care what your life is. I don't care what you think of your life. in the sense of comparing it, which you should never do. But you know that, well, I don't make a lot of money. So money's power, I have no power. I don't have a great job or a great position. I don't have a great spiritual gift. I don't have this. I don't have that. Doesn't matter. The great issue before God is that the impact, the quality of your life is seen in spiritual life. It is the mark. It's that which marks us off as a Christian. It doesn't say that righteousness marks us off, people. It doesn't say that knowledge marks us off. Knowledge doesn't make it isn't the mark of a great Christian. Righteousness isn't the mark of a great Christian. The mark of the great Christian throughout church history is, and you love as Christ loved. There are a lot of people that do not have much knowledge at all. People from the standpoint that you and I have, I mean, just, you know, we meet only, is correct English, we meet only 3 times a week. Now, some of you say that's fine. I'd like to meet about 6 or 7 times a week. But we meet only 3 times a week. But there are a lot of people throughout history, in church history alone, they didn't have all this. They didn't have the Greek, the Hebrew, and all the work that we've got, and pastors didn't have all the reference books. Oh, so we're so superior? People know. The people way back there are far more valuable in their life because they dealt with the simplicity of walking by faith in the Spirit and loving as Christ like. You can have all the knowledge and all of the stuff you want without spiritual love. You don't have anything at all. So we must have this spiritual love to give to our life, this impact, give to our life, this the mark of the Christian, the impact of the Christian in the spiritual warfare. Now let's talk about that for a moment. What is it in the spiritual warfare that draws all attention to who and what Jesus Christ is? It's the cross. Because that's what defeated Satan. We saw that again Sunday. That's what defeated Satan. Okay? What is that a demonstration of? It's a demonstration of his love. So then what are we saying here? We're saying that love is the center of this whole deal. So think about if that is true. If you can see and understand that. Think about when you, in your bedroom, in your kitchen, in your house, in your office, oh, and on the highway between your house and the office, don't forget that, and, you know, in your social life, you love as Christ loved. People, that's dynamic. That's powerful. And I want to have more to say about that as we move into the description of love. But it's on my mind now, so I don't want to lose it. There are people who read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, and they say that's God's love, and man can't love them that way and everything. Well, then why, you know, no, this is what we're told to do. But this is what should characterize our life and draw attention to who and what Jesus Christ is. Okay, point 7. Spiritual love does not minimize the importance of the spiritual life. People, spiritual love is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. What do I emphasize? A lot of people hear me emphasizing faith, 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 faith. That's not my message. People hear me emphasize the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That's not my message. The main thing, people, is spiritual love. The reason that I have to talk about faith and then the Holy Spirit, and then love, is because so few people know how to get this love. A lot of people will talk about it, but it turns into conditional love, and that's the love that most Christians have, conditional love. So we have to start with how do we get this love, so I will emphasize faith in the Holy Spirit, but that's not the main thing. That's not what we're after. What we're after is the greatest work, the greatest production of faith, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and that is, nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. Nothing else matters, the NIV translation. And it's an excellent translation. Nothing else matters. Do you believe that? And we're going to come to verse 8 in our chapter here that says, love never fails. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love, and now we're going to see, love never fails. And people, each one of you, not me, I've made up my own mind about this. Whether I were in the pastor of a church or not, you've got to make up your mind. What do you believe is the greatest issue? What do you believe nothing else matters but? And you fill in the blank. You fill in what it is. I don't know if y'all saw City Slickers, but that challenge was just great. He told Billy Crystal, they were out riding on their horses. He said, you know, there's only one thing on earth that counts. He said, what's that? And he looked at your finger. And he goes, no, you dummy. Just one thing. There's just one thing, and only one thing that matters. And of course, Billy Crystal and his character was looking at him and said, okay. He expected him to tell him. Okay, what is that? You have to find it. And that's why I said, you have to decide. Do you agree with the scripture? Nothing else matters. But faith expressing itself in love, and here love never fails. Or does righteousness have to come in sometimes? Do we need to go to justice? Do we need to do this and that? As if they are contradictory, which we'll see on Wednesday night, that they are not. So people, we're not minimizing. When we talk about spiritual love, we're not minimizing the work of the Holy Spirit, for it is He who gives this love. Spiritual love does not minimize faith, the great issue in how we live, because it is faith that allows us to tap into the work of the Holy Spirit, which is His love. That's how we tap. How do we tap in? That's the great question. Just like we were talking about earlier in our prayer meeting. How does a person get the Spirit of their life? How do we receive the righteousness of God? How do we do these things? That becomes the great issue. And that's where everybody has their answer. Well, faith is what taps into the work of God. Where did we first see that? At the cross. How do I tap into the saving work of Jesus Christ? Faith. Bingo! You got it! Now you know how to live a Christian life. How do I tap into the work of the Holy Spirit? Faith. Faith in the Holy Spirit, because He was sent to do that. Spiritual love does not minimize the necessity or the importance of scriptural understanding. People hear me saying sometimes, well, you've gotten the point out and criticize, people who left the church criticize, well, you don't see the importance of Bible doctrine anymore. People, spiritual love doesn't minimize the importance of Bible doctrine. It puts it in its proper perspective. Knowledge makes arrogant. Spiritual love takes all of your understanding and alchemizes it with love. Love guides in the understanding of it and in the application of it in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual love does not minimize hope, and we're going to study hope. But it doesn't minimize the whole concept of hope. In fact, we'll see how it enriches hope. Okay, point eight. As you begin to live the spiritual life, you begin to live under the new commandment. That is, you begin to love as Christ loves. You begin to love as Christ loved. Now, what does this mean? You begin to be transformed into the image of Christ. People talk a lot about Second Corinthians being transformed into the image of Christ. I always raise my hand. How? How are we transformed into the image of Christ? Okay. Answer. When you love as Christ loved, people, you're being transformed into Christ. Then in 2 Corinthians 13, we won't turn there right now because we've already done it, but if we love, and as we love as Christ loved, we're being transformed into the image of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a few verses down, same context, forget the chapter break, Jesus Christ is in the image of who? Whom? God the Father. So, whose love are we ultimately demonstrating? God the Father. God. Forget Trinity for a moment. God. Because what did the cross demonstrate? The love of Christ is demonstrated at the cross. We know love by this. He laid down His life for us. Okay, so we know that. Now, what does the Bible also tell us? That the cross is a demonstration of the love of God. So as you're being trained, as you love as Christ loved, as you allow the Spirit to pour this love through you, you've been, and you love as Christ loved, you've been transformed into the image of Christ, which means you've been transformed into the image of God. You've been transformed into His image. Point 9. You know what? I think I want to save this one. Let's go. All right, let me just. Point 9. All right, we'll do this. Point 9. I'll do it in my head here. Point 9. We cannot separate anything of spiritual value on earth from spiritual life. Actually, from divine love, from the way that God loves. If you take away love, if you take away divine love, let's talk about this. If you take away divine love off of the planet Earth, where does that leave man? Where does that leave man? We still have God in His holiness. So we still have a holy God. But let's for a moment take away love. Where does that leave him? Think about it. Where would that leave him? I'm sorry? Leave us with all, which leaves us where? In despair. Death. Because love brings death. We're in total despair. People think, you know, be simple with it. Think of your own life. Think of your own home. Think of every part of life, not even in the spiritual realm. What is life if there's no love? Think about a home where a child, a little boy and a little girl are reared where there's just no love. What a horrible way to grow up. Think about millions of people on earth. Despair. Despair. Without love. Now, let's go to the spiritual realm. If we can imagine that in the human realm, there's some experience it, unfortunately. Think about it in the spiritual realm. Where would we be without divine love? We would have man condemned, and that's the end. That's it. A life without, or earth without love is man condemned, and that's it. That's the end. That's the earth without divine love. People, you and I are here. We're in existence because of divine love. Then we add to that salvation. We add to that all the wonderful things that God gives. And then we have divine love that changes us. We're going to go through and study divine love as we study this. We're going to study spiritual love in it as a force. And we're going to get right down to the nitty gritty. How spiritual love transforms us. We're going to talk about how spiritual love, the force of love, conveys energy transfer from the Holy Spirit through you, changes you, conveys you. We're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit, the spiritual love, and I'm going to show you how spiritual love takes away fear and replaces it with love. As per 1 John chapter 4 or 5, and we're going to study those things there. So, God's righteousness and justice looks down and condemns us. And that's the end. The destiny of the world, destruction. It's over. See, not then. But God looks down and He says, but I love you. Now, what kind of love? If it's a love that says, I love you, and I'm sorry, you're going to die. And spend eternity separated from me. Well, people, you know, even beings, blasphemous if it were true. Hey, you can take your love and just go. That doesn't mean anything. Your love doesn't mean anything. That's the way a lot of humans love. I love you, it doesn't mean anything. But when God says, I love you, and I'm going to do something about you being separated from me, out of my love, I'm going to make restoration possible. Now that's a love you can get a hold of. That Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's a love that controls us. Just takes over our whole life. So divine love is the force, the power that comes from God. It's imparted to us in the form of spiritual love as we are in the midst studying it. Okay, now, let's get into a life with love. A life with love. Paul continues now to describe spiritual love. Only now, instead of a life without love, verses 1 through 3, he turns to a life with love. We've painted, I hope, an ugly picture for you, an undesirable picture, just as undesirable as a life of sinning. A lot of preachers go, oh, you sin here and you sin there, and you're a sinner if you do this and you're a sinner if you do that. And that's important. The people, there are a lot of Christians living a wasted life. Because they don't know about walking by faith in the Spirit and loving as Christ loved. So now Paul turns to a life with love. He turns to a life with love. And what Paul is now going to do is going to give us a description of the environment of spiritual love, first and foremost, inside of you, in your own soul and in your own life. That's what we're going to have now. He's not going to define love. I think I told you to the point you're tired of hearing it, but one of the most wonderful days in my life was when I realized the Bible did not define love. Stop trying. It's beyond understanding. It does not define love. It describes love. It describes when love is present. It describes when love is absent. We're going to see 8 negatives in describing love. So what we're going to look at is a life with love. And that's what we're going to be studying now. Okay. How does the alchemizing process work that we have been studying now? What does love do to you? We see what it does to spiritual gifts, to knowledge, to giving, to prophecy, all these spiritual gifts. What does spiritual love, how does it start transforming us? What starts happening inside of us? What does love do for us personally? Let's put it this way. What is the environment of spiritual love in our souls, in our lives? What is it like to love as Christ loved? What is it like to love as Christ loved? Okay. People, and we did it, but just permit me a few minutes. We try to define it. That's where we, as a Bible church, we like to get a handle on definitions, educated people. We want to define things. So we go to Webster, affection based on admiration, or benevolence, a warm attachment in these kinds of things. None of these even come close. In fact, it is this kind of thinking that's caused a lot of pastors, including myself for a lot of years, to put love over here and righteousness and justice over here and say righteousness and justice contained all of the norms and standards and it had the teeth and all the rest of it. Beep, bong. I'm going to show you what love will do to your life. Righteousness can never do these things. This is what love does for you. It's love that has strength. It's love that has the power. It's love that has the peace that is going to give substance to your life. So let's forget trying to find a definition. The Bible does not define it. It describes it. And again, just so that you feel at ease with this, academically at ease, those of us that like definitions, we can't define gravity. We can't define, physicists can't define it. They don't even know how it functions, how it works really. They know what it does. They describe it by what it does to the whole universe. Not just here on Earth. People, gravity is what's holding the whole universe together. And I love that when I found that out, because if our analogy is right, relating the analogy of gravity to spiritual love of God is holding the whole thing together, the whole planet. So I even like that aspect of how it comes across. Now, any definition defies the reality of what love is then. There's just no way we're going to encompass everything. So, let's get to work now on a life with love. And let's begin by just reading, at least once here, let's read the text, and then let's note some things in the introduction. Life with love, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient, or actually, macrothumia, long-suffering. I have it in my notes, but let me just draw your attention as we read. Look with me. Love is long-suffering. What's the verb? Life is long-suffering. What's the verb? It's not a trick question. It's just basic English. Is. Okay, is. Okay? What is the subject? Love is long-suffering. What's the subject? Love. Love is the subject. Now, why am I playing that with you? Because, people, I want you to always remember, this is not you. It doesn't say you're these things. This is what love is. If you want this to characterize your life, it must be this love. It does not say the Christian is long-suffering. It says love is long-suffering. That's an extremely important, basic principle. This is what love is. This is not what you are. This is what love is. Now, you can have this coming through you, and we'll deal with that. But it's so important that I always remember, I'm not these things. This is what love is. And if I will allow the Spirit, by trusting Him, to pour this love through me, this is what will come out of me, characterize my life. But please remember, these things are what love is. Now, I'm gone beyond the teaching there, so I think you get it. Love is long-suffering. Love is kind. Is love understood subject? Is not jealous. Love does not boast. Love is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. How will I know if I have spiritual love? How does spiritual love act? God cares very much how His love acts. So we're talking about an environment. You can look at some actions and go, well, there's no spiritual love there. And what I just did, throwing the furniture across the room, I don't think that's spiritual love. I don't think that's the way love acts. See, that kind of thing. My hand through the door of the house, that, don't think that's how it acts. How does love sound? You can listen to yourself. You don't need somebody to tell you you're not in the Spirit. Listen to yourself. Watch yourself. How are you acting with others? Okay. So, love does not act unbecomingly. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love does not take into account a wrong. Impossible not to know when somebody else is there and, you know, respond or react to that. Love does not. People, as you read these, you're learning how God is, and you're learning how you're going to be if you allow this love to come through you. That's why I said many times, you know, you take some of these. Not only can I not love this way, one of my favorite things, I just love saying it, sometimes as we read this, sometimes not only can I not love this way, I don't want to. I want to consider when they wrong me. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. And people, I must spend some time there because that doesn't say that it judges it, though. It doesn't say that it separates from somebody. It does. It doesn't say that it separates and all the stuff that people, Christians, want to do. It just says it doesn't rejoice in it. It knows the difference. It doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. Rejoices with the truth. Verse 7. Powerful statement. Love bears all things. Wow. That's very close to long suffering. Love believes all things. Don't take that one the wrong way. You know, we should just believe anything he says. That's not what we have going on with this one. Okay. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and then love never fails. Point one. We got time? Yeah. Point one. Be sure that we understand what the subject is here. Spiritual love is the subject. Not so much you. It is spiritual love that is long-suffering. It is spiritual love that is kind. Love is the subject. Not the believer. The believer is not the subject. Point two. When I say this, I'm talking about the passage in the description of love that we just read. This is why the life with spiritual love is a superior way of life, which we just studied. Why is it the superior way of life, coming off of chapter 12, the last verse in chapter 12? This explains now what we just read, why spiritual love is the superior way of life. This is what spiritual love will do to your life, the things we just read. People, righteousness won't be these things. Money won't be these things. Success won't be these things. Human love won't be these things. People often want me to read this at weddings. With tongue in cheek, I go ahead. You know, she really wants it at her wedding, okay. But I read it going, this doesn't mean anything to them. Because this only comes by, you know, if I almost want to preach if they want me to read it. Okay, I'll read it, but can I have an hour teaching before as I read it? Can I break into everything? I don't think they want that. Okay. But this is what spiritual love will do to your life. This is the impact of spiritual love. This is the environment that spiritual love will create in your soul. Let's just stop here. It's 8:30, and we will pick it up right here next week and continue on with the introduction, and then we will get to work on 16 environments of spiritual love. 16 environments here. And this is not all of them, by any means. This is the beginning list of Paul here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but there are many others throughout Scripture, and when we get through with the 16, we'll pick up more that are found in Scripture. Why? Because this is your life with love. To see your life without love, this is your life with love. Closing a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, where our study has brought us tonight is a vivid understanding and picture of you. A description, not definition, but a description of you. For your love is long-suffering and therefore forgiving. Your love is kind. Your love bears all things, even our sins. If we will allow your Spirit to take us on the journey, Heavenly Father, what we're also learning is about you. What kind of God you are. What can we expect of you? What does your life look like? What do you look like? So we're learning about you. Not in theology proper. Not in 100 points, in 20 attributes, but the way that you really are, the way you function. Father, we praise you for the God that you are. And it is our intent, Heavenly Father, that we walk by faith in the Spirit and that he is able to transform us into the very image of his love. Father, we praise you in Christ's name.